afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Lisa from Philadelphia. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. You can hear me?
Yes, I can, and
great.
You can hear me.
I can hear you, so it's working out.
Oh, great. Success. Success. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
sometimes,
thanks for having me.
Sometimes these technology things are a little bit on the edge. Lisa, tell me about Practice Everywhere.
Oh, Practice Everywhere. Practice Everywhere is probably, for me this year, other than sitting practice, has made probably been the hugest difference for me in terms of my practice. I got the notice before January that Sherry was going to start using social networking technology like Twitter and Facebook, and the idea was to send out these messages, and it seems like they're random, about 5 or 6 times a day.
Uh-huh.
And the messages would be practice reminders. And so they might be, any time that they come up, they would be an opportunity to kind of pull yourself out of conditioning and kind of coming back to the breath or coming back to the moment or just even remembering about practice.
Yes,
so,
even remembering, yes.
Yeah, just to remember. I'm supposed
yes.
to be practicing. So I got the notice, and then, you know, I kind of made a commitment to myself that as soon as they sent out the information, I would sign up, and I did. And I signed up right when the program started back in January, and it's just been amazing. So I actually do it through Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And so what happens is that I, you know, sign in. I have a Facebook account. I signed into the Practice Everywhere page. And then, just like I said, randomly throughout the day, these messages are sent out that have these really great practice reminders. And sometimes it's just about being with the breath. Sometimes it's appreciating things about myself that in the moment I may not be appreciating.
Yeah.
And, it's really incredible. I can't say enough about what it's meant for me, especially
yeah.
as somebody who's in Philadelphia and being so far away from the monastery and from the Zen Center, and having that connection to Sangha and practice is just such a gift. It's amazing.
Yes, right there, as close as your cell phone or your computer.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what I've noticed for myself is that before, you know, I have a job that's kind of computer-oriented, and so as a result, I'm at my computer often. And, you know, it's a real habit of mine, had been a habit of mine, to kind of wander into all the kind of junk food kind of stuff that you can find
yeah.
on a computer, you know, and
yeah.
on the Internet, kind of mindless, stuff that wasn't really supporting my well-being anyway.
Yes.
You know, kind of
yes.
the junk food. And so what's been amazing is that Practice Everywhere has really replaced that for me in many ways. So I will go and I will check, you know, I'll say, oh, what's the latest Practice Everywhere? And then, you know, it's usually a message that, you know, whoom, pulls me right back to practice in the present moment and allows me an opportunity to drop whatever the the voices or the dialogue that was going on in my head, and just kind of brings me right back to center. So it's just been amazing how it's just replaced the kind of junk food kind of stuff that I was doing before with this really meaningful experience that just kind of pops up throughout the day.
Yeah,
so.
That's great. I love your analogy with, quote, junk food, unquote.
Right, because I'll eat healthy food if it's available, but there's just
yeah.
so much junk food out there, you know.
Yeah.
So with Practice Everywhere, it's like it's so convenient. You know, convenience food is junk food. So it's just this convenience, you know, you can't help but practice because it's made so easy, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So for me, it's kind of like having this little coach throughout the day. You know, often in practice, we talk about having the mentor or someone who, you know, kind of steps in and pulls you back, or even the guide for that matter. And so, you know, all throughout the day, there is this voice that pops up and pulls me back, you know, that's kind of with me all throughout the day. So I'm at work, I'm in the middle of something that's not going the way I want it to, or I'm feeling frustrated, or I'm caught up in some story about something. And then this little practice reminder comes to breathe, or a practice reminder comes that says, you know, appreciate something about yourself right now. Or a fun one I really liked recently was, you know, picture one of your heroes, somebody you really admire, and now what are the qualities of that person that you yourself possess,
yeah.
You know? And when you get a message like that, it's just, whoa, you know, all of a sudden,
yeah.
You know, it pulls you right back to, at least it pulls me right back to my heart and what's important to me and what's possible. And it's in that moment, I can kind of drop whatever was going on. So.
Yes, yes. And in my experience, they come just in the right moment.
Yeah.
Kind of just when I need it.
Yeah, it's true. There have been ones where I've laughed out loud because there's one that said something like, let go. And then it said, no, really, let go. Because it's
yes.
so true, you know. So,
yes.
So yeah, it's been amazing. So actually, we just, my husband and I just switched cell phone companies just so that I could get a text messaging package. Because up until now, I've just relied on getting the messages emailed to me or going on, logging on to Facebook to get them. But, you know, since the very beginning, it's been a capability of the technology to actually send the messages as text messages to your cell phone. So I just went out and changed my plan so that I could have that experience. So I'm looking forward to, you know, having my cell phone on me and throughout the day getting a little buzz and picking it up and seeing what the message is.
Yes, that's really great. I've heard a lot of fun stories about people, you know, at work or in meetings or riding somewhere in the car with someone and the phone goes off and they, you know, show the message or read it aloud. And it's really great. In my experience, it just really interrupts whatever story I'm being told, whatever conditioned process I'm stuck in, to really, you know, get clear of that the way that the guide and the mentor can assist with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think... it's been amazing because, you know, I'll read, there's other parts of my practice, like I'll read the peace quote that the monastery, puts out, or I will, read the Transform Your Life page for that day. But, you know, that'll happen in the morning or it'll happen at night. And then there's this long day of,
yeah.
you know, the world to go through
yeah.
and every other message coming at me is, you know, go to sleep, you know,
yeah.
don't pay attention, just go
yeah.
along, you know, and kind of, so what's interesting is what's been so different and so incredible about Practice Everywhere is I don't leave it behind, you know, it's woven throughout my day. So there's practice again. And then a couple hours later, oh yeah, there's practice again. And a couple hours later, you know, oh, there it is again, you know, so it's just been this way to feel so connected in a way that, you know, it just hadn't been like that before, and it's been so supportive. And, you know, I tell everyone about it,
uh-huh.
and I really, like, you know, get excited about it because
yes.
'Cause it has made such a difference for me. So.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it's really fun. And to me, there's many wonderful things about it. You know, the other thing is with the technology, it easily transfers all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has access to a computer or cell phone can get the messages that way.
Yeah, and it is an interesting experience. I was with someone recently who got it on their cell phone. You know, it hadn't really clicked in my head before that when that person gets the buzz on their cell phone, there could be someone halfway across the world or wherever, you know, in the country who's getting a buzz on their cell phone. And, you know,
yes.
it's this instant moment of a reminder of the connection as well, you know, of the
yeah.
fact that we're all practicing and we're all getting that message at the same time. And, you know, throughout the country, there are people who are, you know, breathing and letting go right at the same time.
Yes.
I'm breathing and letting go, you know.
Or chuckling or smiling or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, you know, or picking their favorite superhero or thinking of their favorite color or, you know, dreaming of their, you know, heart's desire or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
what an amazing experience. And especially with all the other kinds of messages that you can get that are constantly being thrown at us, you know, in advertising or television or anywhere you go, you know, and then to have an opportunity to have an option where I'm choosing what's coming at me. And it's this messages that are going to support me and uplift me and you know, take care of me. And it's such a nice, amazing use of the technology, really.
Yes, it's really great. And I want to mention for people who are, for whom new technology is not the thing that gets them all excited, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the mechanics of it. You mentioned Facebook and Twitter, and these are social networking tools or ways to communicate to a lot of people. And on the Living Compassion website, there are a lot of details, step-by-step details for how to sign up for your cell phone or Facebook or Twitter or your iPhone to simplify that process of getting started and getting all these messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know sometimes people are concerned about privacy, and so sometimes when you have to sign up for Twitter or you sign up for Facebook, people are concerned about, well, I don't want everyone knowing, you know, my identity or where I am or what I'm doing. And really, the technology is such that you can make it very private. I mean, you could even have, I actually do have a name that isn't my name for different reasons. And so it makes it very private for me. And you can set all your settings so that no one can see any of your information. And it's just a way to kind of log on to this free service. And if you're not comfortable using Facebook or Twitter, you can have them emailed to you. I mean, the messages will just pop up in your email, and you don't have to worry about signing on to, you know, some other system all the time. Once your account is set up, it's done. So, you know, it's very safe and very secure for anybody who's, you know, somewhat concerned about that. You can make it very secure. And you're right, the monastery instructions, the instructions on the Living Compassion website, you know, walk you through everything you need to do. So.
Yes. Lisa, there's one other thing I wanted to mention in terms of new technology, and that is Sherry's new practice blog, which just came out, I don't know, a week or so ago, not very long. And have you seen it?
I've only seen the first entry, and I haven't had an opportunity to see the next ones, but I'm very excited about it because, you know, when she describes it and the fact that you kind of get a window into her practice.
Yes.
That's incredible, you know.
Yes, great.
I mean, who does that? Who allows you to see, you know, all of the things that she's doing and the ways that she's using practice and the way she's thinking about it. And, you know, I just think it's just so gracious of her to allow us kind of into, kind of have a view into what she's doing and give us that opportunity to see that.
Yeah, it's a real gift. It's a real gift. I've been enjoying it a lot. And to me, the underlying piece of all of this is really, as far as I can tell, the monastery is doing everything in its power to really make the teachings available to anyone, anywhere, all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have never felt more, I mean, I always feel connected to Sangha, and I always, you know, I have a sitting practice and a sitting group and, you know, go on retreats. But I must say, you know, the technology, the way that it works, I mean, I just feel so even much more connected, and I just think it's amazing that they've figured out these ways of pulling everyone together and having us in tune with each other and so in tune with practice. It's so supportive. And, you know, what's interesting is I was reflecting the other day about Practice Everywhere with someone, and I was saying to someone, and it's free, you know. I was like, so excited. I'm like, it's free. It's out. Can you believe it, you know? And then I very humbly, you know, thought, oh gosh, you know, it might be nice to send Living Compassion a donation for this because, you know, it is, while it is free, you know, obviously they're putting effort into it, you know, and it was very humbling for me because I've been using it since January and hadn't really even thought about, oh yeah, that's worth a donation. And it is. I mean, it certainly is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because they are putting so much effort and doing so much to make me feel, to make, you know, everyone feel connected and supported. And so yeah, I mean, it's generous of them and amazing.
Very generous. And Lisa, you've been very generous with your time today.
Well, thank you very much. You can tell
Thanks
I'm excited about
us.
The program. So.
Okay.
Thank care. You, Michael.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Good evening and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Thank you.
Welcome.
That was a very exciting conversation about our wonderful new practice opportunities.
Yes. You know, there are so many, I can barely keep up with them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I project, I think she may actually have said this, that Sherry is doing for all of us what she recognized she needed to do for herself, which is to not leave any gaps free of practice.
Yes.
Because that's when we can, of course, slide off back to sleep and into suffering. So,
yes.
Yeah, the opportunities are really generous and extraordinary and most welcome.
Yes, that's my experience as well. Wonderful. Melinda, we have many callers here tonight.
All right. Well, I would love to talk to somebody.
Great. And I want to remind us all to keep it to one topic, if possible, for our conversation tonight.
Right. Very good. That makes it possible, perhaps, for more people to get out of the queue and onto the phone.
Yeah. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi. My name is Sarah.
Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Yeah, I deal with fear, and I always have, but in the past year or so, it's been getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just makes it really hard to function sometimes.
Yes.
And, you know, I have so much resistance in trying to do some of these things that I have fear around. Because it's so great, I just don't want to even go there. And
the fear is so great.
What's that?
The fear is so great that you just don't want to even think about things that would make it come up.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about them. I may not even want to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to take steps toward, you know, carrying, you know, these things out to get them accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And
are these things that you, like, are part of your work or part of your life that it's really hard to avoid?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so how have you been dealing with it, Sarah?
Well, as I say, it's only got really bad for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably have some difficulty, you know, previous to this,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with it. I don't know, like lately, you know, like feelings come and go, the fear will come and go. Sometimes it can be not there or very minor or really a lot, especially in the morning. So I kind of time my actions when it's not up for me as much.
Ah, okay.
It's not like that fear ever really goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing more of the, you know, stop, drop, and breathe.
Ah, yes.
And just talking to myself, you know, about, okay, it's not happening right now. What you're fearing isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
Try and really get out of that fear fantasy future.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the moment. So kind of a combination of that and picking the times when, you know, the fear isn't really running.
Yeah, it's interesting that there would be times that you can predict, it sounds like, when the fear will be diminished compared to other times.
Yeah. Well, the fear is always worse in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be pretty strong and...
pretty strong first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of as though you've been talked to overnight and sort of talked into being afraid overnight?
Right.
Yeah.
I wake up and it's right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel it in my body and... those are the times I really have a hard time knowing what to do with it.
Mm.
You know, one kind of wants to keep me plastered, immobilized.
Yeah.
And I,
just wants to stop you and have you not be able to, almost paralyzed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I sort of, it's hard to focus on any one thing. I sort of switch around from doing some breathing or trying not to resist it, and of course I can't keep that up, and so it's really hard for me to know how to deal with it when it gets like that.
Yeah, well, I want to offer one thing that has been extraordinarily helpful to me in years and years of dealing with fear and panic attacks and things, and that was when I got to a point where I realized there wasn't really anything wrong with being afraid.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that is something that can ring a bell for you, or if that just seems impossible, or...
Well, I've gotten more used to the idea that this is something I deal with, and you know, yeah, this is, I've gotten a little bit more accepting of it in a general sense. But I'm actually afraid of the feeling. I mean, I'm afraid of it.
Yes. And that makes it kind of makes it exponentially worse.
Yes.
Because not only am I afraid, but I'm really afraid of being afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid of feeling it. It feels so bad.
I'm
afraid of feeling it.
Yeah. And is there also, it sounds like you're also aware of some conversation that goes along with it. Is that so?
Well, when it's really bad, I'm not really having a conversation, which is interesting. I realized that recently. I'm just really trying to survive it. It's the other times that when it's not so bad, that the conversation will be there, or just the general sense of doom.
The conversation, and some of it sounds like is kind of looking for what there is that you might need to be afraid of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So here's fear and what's going on around me that means I need to be afraid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my mind will just go, oh, you know, when I'm in this kind of place, it can kind of see a lot of things as fearful when I normally wouldn't.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then if your experience is anything like mine has been, once it finds something, then that thing can always be fear-provoking.
Yes.
Yeah. And have you, Sarah, have you encountered the fear book yet that Sherry wrote?
I have.
You have it?
I do.
Oh, good. Good. Because she's got some, I found that a wonderful support also.
Yes, it is. It kind of opened me up to the whole idea of dealing with the fear and more accepting it.
You
know, that I do deal with it.
That we can actually become the pursuer instead of the pursued.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of hard for me right now. I can't quite get to be the pursuer.
And do you have any idea how you get stopped?
When it's really big, I'm pretty much in survival.
Right.
So it's really, I actually have been getting a little bit better. I've been able to get up and I've done some meditation or even walking.
Way of sort of spending the energy.
Yeah, just not sort of being plastered with it.
Yes. Yeah.
A little deflection,
yeah.
but with mindfulness.
There's one other thing you might try, and I don't remember if this is in the fear book or not, but I know Sherry has talked about it, which is to become as familiar as you possibly can with every single detail of all of the body sensations that happen when you're experiencing fear. And she would sometimes, I think, even just lie down on the floor, be plastered, as you say, but to really attend to the experience in the body in those moments. So the physical sensations, and as much as possible, not any conversation that might be going on about the physical sensations, to see exactly how much you can see about what fear does in your body. Can you get a sense of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure I think if I can keep the attention on that.
Uh-huh. It probably will be difficult to start, but I would predict that once you give it a shot, that as you do it, you'll be kind of amazed at what you see.
So just notice.
Just notice. Every little detail. What's your heart doing? Are your palms sweating? Is your breath short? What are your eyes doing? What's your scalp feel like? What are your toes doing? It's sort of an all-body inventory of what is it like when fear is my experience.
Okay.
Want to give that a try?
Yes. Yes.
Great. And then maybe check back in and let us know how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Great. Great. I think it may surprise you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can certainly try it. Yeah, I would really like to get to the point where I can just say, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah.
When it's running.
Yes, here it
is. And sometimes when it's really mild, I can do that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Still, I don't like the sensation. I'd rather not feel that way, but I can kind of go, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, here it is again. Well, just like, oh, another rainy day.
Right.
Yeah.
And when it's really intense, I'm going to give what you say a try, and I'm not sure, but I'll just keep coming back to it and back to it and back to it.
Yeah, and see how that goes and let us know.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, we'll do.
All righty. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sarah. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, I have some fun and exciting announcements here.
Some fun and exciting announcements. Wonderful. Go for it, Michael.
Coming up in about 10 days, there's going to be a new retreat and workshop schedule going up on the Living Compassion website.
And it's a big one.
Yes. There'll be some exciting new opportunities to watch out for. Look for a camping retreat as well as something fun around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And there will also be a new retreat happening with Sherry in the Northeast sometime in the fall.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That is great. And if you're looking for a warm getaway soon, Sherry will be doing a two-day workshop in Honolulu, April 23rd and 24th.
Mm.
And all of this is on the Living Compassion website.
Yes. Yes, along with I think there's also a retreat in North Carolina in May.
Yes.
And, yes. And then the schedule will blossom.
I'm just imagining scrolling down the page, scrolling,
yeah.
Being amazed and more amazed as I go.
Yeah. Marking your calendar, okay. Go
yeah.
There then. Yep.
Yeah, I can do that one. Oh, yeah, I can do that one.
Yep. Yeah, practice everywhere, including on the calendar and at the monastery and all around the world.
Great. Linda, we have another caller here.
All right.
Caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jen. Can you hear me?
Hey, Jen. I can hear
Hi.
You.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I just wanted to call kind of to check back in and things I called a couple of weeks ago, and you know, it feels like a little bit of a kind of battling it out with conditioning and, you know, the depression that is one of the forms of how it gets me. And just just continuing to work with that. It felt like calling the radio show the last time that I did a couple of weeks ago, just kind of, you know, putting it out there and getting it outside of my own head and everything else was a really good support and was helpful.
That is so helpful, isn't it? Because conditioning
yeah.
would much prefer that we just have it inside our heads where we're supposed to be figuring something out and making
yeah.
things different, although it's just running around in circles, keeping us in a state of fog. So,
yeah.
really great to talk about it and put it out there. And it sounds like it had, when you called a couple of weeks ago, that it definitely had an impact on what you were experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, still looking at a lot of the same stuff, but, you know, so supportive to do that and really, really glad for the support. And,
and if it weren't always the same stuff, we couldn't call it karma, huh?
I know, gosh, yeah, it's so
yeah.
true. yeah.
Yeah, I agree, but there it is.
One thing that I'm kind of looking at and was wondering about maybe some support or ideas is seeing how much, the last caller spoke to this a little bit too, but waking up into it is so much what goes on. Like sometimes it seems like, you know, maybe toward the end of the day I will have kind of fought loose a little bit and I'll be more disidentified. And then, you know, after a night of whatever, I wake up into it so much, it's like I completely forget, you know, that there's something else possible and all of that.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm fighting my way out of depression a lot when I wake up in the morning. So,
yeah, so you wake up identified with the depressed part.
Totally,
you're just that person.
Yes, a lot of times anyway,
Yeah. And so how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, different ways. I mean, you know, I'm pretty very good with my sitting practice that I will, you know, get up, get out of bed and do sitting and, you know.
So
you
don't lie there letting the voices kind of work you over.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think sometimes I do. I mean, there's often an intention to get up earlier so there's more space for exercising and the meditation. And a lot of times I do still, even though I know that that's exactly right, like I know the voices are just using it as a time to beat me up, but I still fall for the, oh, I'm so tired. Maybe if I just rest a little more, you know, all those stories.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, I always get to the sitting and I usually am pretty good about exercise, but the exercise is often like shorter than I intended it to be because I got talked into sleeping in later and then there's less time left for the exercise that I, you know, thought of. Or even sometimes if I do, like sometimes I'll just say, okay, I'm not going to indulge it. I'm going to get right up, you know, when this alarm goes off or whatever, I get up. And still, like, sometimes there's an experience of being with exercise and it feels great and really taking care of the body. And sometimes it's like conditioning has gotten that too and it's just forcing myself through this rote experience, like not really being present to the way it is, you know?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on who's doing the exercise, it sounds like.
Exactly,
yeah.
So what works
for you, Jen?
What works? Well, I guess I'm not sure. I guess that's part of why I was calling, because I know that exercise and meditation are supportive. And like I said, it feels like a lot of mornings, you know, I do get up and do those things, and I even, you know, make it for the amount of time that I had hoped to really get some good moving, the energy and stuff, and it still doesn't seem to, you know, quote, work. Like, I still feel quite identified, and everything ahead of me is going to be horrible. The day is going to be horrible. Even though actually my life circumstances has shifted a lot and I'm doing a lot of things that when I'm disidentified, I'm really excited about, but conditioning would have me believe like I have to just survive it. It's all going to be horrible. Like as soon as I wake up, it's going to be, you know, the worst day ever. I'll be lucky to get through it. you know?
Have you tried kind of recording that in like journaling? So this is what conditioning is telling me today is going to be like?
No, I haven't done that. Maybe that would be...
Well, it might be an interesting, you know, because conditioning, as you know, is so incredibly full of lies, but
mm-hmm.
it can be really easy to keep falling in, especially when we're identified with somebody, for instance, who gets really depressed and
mm-hmm.
who gets into believing all of the stories that conditioning kind of shovels on. But to write them down enough so that when you look at them later and you write down what your day really was like, you'll have that comparison of what it told you was going to happen. And it sounds like you're already aware of that. But to sort of support yourself in catching on to the lies maybe a little bit sooner.
Yeah, so
writing it down might also work as a disidentification tool. So it'll probably try to talk you out of doing that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that. You know, you're too tired. You really need to sleep. Just, you know. But to keep, even use a tape recorder, which can be, you know, it can be a little easier to get past conditioning's discouragements. Just pick up a tape recorder and say, this is what it's saying. This is what I'm believing right now. It's going to be horrible. I have to go, and I'm going to hate it. I have to do hoo-hoo, and it's going to be miserable. And then at the end of the day, listen to it and reflect on how your day really went.
Okay, yeah, that sounds fun to work with, especially when you said the tape recorder, because the writing, I could already feel like so much resistance. I felt like, I'm probably going to, you know, be just fighting this one out so much. I'm not sure if I, you know.
Yeah, I went to my own experience and realized the tape recorder is so, you know, just the button. If we can get the button pushed and start talking, it has a better chance of overcoming that resistance.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I think that highlighting the contrast sounds really good because, like, now, you know, at this point in the day, I am so aware of, like, wow, you know, my day was, you know, so much more enjoyable than conditioning. Actually, it got a lot better as soon as I wasn't listening to conditioning. That it was
Bingo.
A really great day, you know. But boy, in the mornings, it's like I can't – whoever's there often just is not even aware that that's a possibility, it feels like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that just sort of brought up another way you might play with it, which is also record at the end of the day what a great day you had, assuming you have a great day, you know, or whatever, and then play that back for yourself the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really helpful, too. That will be fun to play with, yeah.
Just that it told me it was going to be an awful day, and it told me it was going to be miserable, and that's not at all what happened.
Yeah, and actually
and
when I...
to help us see that it is really serving only conditioning and getting us to suffer, to tell us all those stories that have nothing to do with our reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so not... Like, now I can feel so clearly, like, the only thing bad about the day was, you know, what conditioning told me, you know, was
Bingo.
Like listening to conditioning, you know.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah, it's
I mean, going to
be a horrible day
it.
If I keep listening to you, we say to the voice. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so good to be seeing.
Well, thanks. That sounds fun to play with. I also was kind of thinking a little bit about maybe, like, I don't know, putting, like, listening to some of the guided imageries or something on an iPod or something like that, like, I don't know,
uh-huh.
maybe to put them on all night even. I'm not sure if the battery will even last or whatever, but I do definitely have this sense of how I'm getting, you know, worked over at night and then waking up into it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we had a monk here a while back who did his reassurances tape on both sides of the tape, and it was one of those, you know, loop tapes back in the days when we had tape recorders. And just played it all night.
Yeah, maybe that's where I heard that. It kind
just
of popped in. Subliminally
disputing the voices. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That seems like it might be a really fun thing to, you know, see how long the battery
goes.
Great
idea.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to practice with those things. I really appreciate the thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, and keep calling in because I, you know, I'm right there with what a great way to expose conditioning and disempower it. Call in and
yeah.
talk about it.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jen.
Everything that's offered. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Linda, there's some courageous people out there.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah. Struggling against the demons of conditioning. And those demons can just seem so real and so, yeah.
Yes.
So real and so, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for, but it is possible to win out over them and end suffering.
Yes, yes, yes. And the courage of people who do that
yes.
regularly.
Yep.
Linda, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
All righty. See you then.
Okay.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to your Open Air. Melinda, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I appreciate the first two callers. They addressed a couple of big, good issues. But I wanted to call today and talk about some guidance that I had received a few months ago and that I'm practicing or working with.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually, I got this suggestion in October to flip a coin when making decisions.
Uh-huh. They're always such a challenge to conditioning.
Man, I think that was it really hit the nail on the head for me because it's been kind of a, well, I didn't. When I got the initial guidance, it made sense. It was very clear, and I put it into effect. And then I allowed it to get sabotaged. And
uh-huh.
then I kind of forgot about it for a few months.
Yeah, well, conditioning did its thing because there you were for a while, not going back and forth and back and forth, trying to make a decision. You were just flipping a coin.
Right.
And then slowly, or maybe not so slowly, the suggestion about flipping a coin faded, and you're back in trying to decide.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, except the first time when I attempted it, it was clear, and then all of a sudden the decision got sabotaged. You know what I mean? It was
Uh-huh.
It was a funny thing, and then it was like dropped like a hot potato kind of thing.
And then it just what?
It was dropped like
okay.
a hot potato.
Okay.
Yeah, and so in February, it occurred to me again, I don't know how, but I had an insight, oh, I could flip the coin. And I did it a few times last month, and it was very, very helpful, Melinda.
So you made your decisions by way of just tossing a coin, heads or tails, picking one or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is that there's a lot of there are a lot of body sensations around that. And, I mean, there's a whole buildup to. I mean, it's not just like I make it really calmly and I flip the coin. It's like, okay, I see there's turmoil to begin with, and then it's like, I could flip a coin. But then it kind of gets bigger, right? Because I think because conditioned mind is very threatened by that.
Yeah.
And how
does it get bigger?
Well, once I make the decision to flip the coin, well, actually leading up to the decision, there's some anxiety, but you know, that's a good point. Once I flip the coin, once I make the decision to do it,
yes.
and then I've got it and I've got my little notebook that says which heads is this and tails is that, then actually it's pretty expedient. You know, I just flip it, boop, and it's
yeah,
like, okay.
So it sounds like you make a commitment ahead of time to yourself to go with however the coin toss comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
When I can get to that place of making the commitment, then it's very smooth.
Yes, yes. But ideally, from conditioning's point of view, you never get to that point. You just get to, should I or shouldn't I flip the coin to make the decision about
right.
whether I should or shouldn't.
Well, or for me, it'd be more like just don't think, forget that's an option.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not very clear on it because I haven't had a lot of practice. But what I wanted to report, Melinda, was that I flipped a coin yesterday to make a decision. I was in some turmoil about whether or not to do something, and I decided it was kind of a last-minute decision because I had committed to do something, and I could see there was hesitancy, and I just said, well, flip the coin because
okay.
that way it takes it out of the hands of conditioning, right?
Yes, yes.
Because, and I guess really what I wanted to talk about is I wanted to just reinforce how the messages I get say that everything is a really big deal and what we're talking about here, I just need to hear it and really, I'm getting kind of beat up for a coin flip that I did yesterday, and I followed the coin flip, and now I'm getting kind of clobbered for it, but the truth is, it was not life and death situation, and I guess what I'm trying to go for is that... what matters is that I stay out of the hands of conditioned mind.
Mm. Oh, well put.
Yeah.
So what it sounds like you're watching is, so something came up yesterday. You said you were going to do something. Some hesitation came up. You decided to flip a coin to do it or not do it.
Right.
And you flipped the coin, and it was really clean. And however it came out, you went with that. And then after that, conditioning started beating you up.
Right.
As if what you'd done was somehow a huge survival issue.
Exactly. And the truth is it did disappoint some people.
But
like I said, it wasn't life or death, and it didn't stop them from doing the activity. But that was enough. You know what I mean? It was enough for conditioned mind to make it a survival kind of thing, like a, you know.
Yeah. That you're not ever supposed to disappoint other people.
Correct.
Yeah. And to do anything that would have you disappointing them. So it sort of pulled it away from the coin toss.
Right.
Into what is probably some karma.
Yeah.
And so where are you now with it, Virginia?
Well, you know, actually, it comes and goes, but this morning I did a right hand, left hand writing with my, you know,
That non-dominant handwriting.
Yeah, and that was really helpful because what the non-dominant hand said was that she doesn't feel like she gets to do what she wants to do. She's too busy trying to figure out what everybody else wants her to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really big, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and I don't want to forget it, because I'm very tempted to carry around. You know, we've talked about carrying around an egg. I'm very tempted on that. I'm a little bit afraid I'm going to break it and make a big mess, but I don't want to forget that there's that delicate part that needs my attention like that.
Yeah, and it sounds like she might like to, and this is a projection, but she might like to have your attention at the point where a decision gets made to do something that it turns out you're not so sure you want to do.
Yeah. So she could get my attention. She'd like to have my attention at the point where I make the decision that she's not sure she wants to do. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense, and I totally, I'm with you, but and it's something that I don't do. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that winds up over time, sort of finding you in the bank, because it sounds like you're really, in your practice, you're really working to uncover all these things and to sort of value the parts of yourself who might not want to go along with the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certainly the coin toss sounds like it was really helpful in leading to your seeing this about the part who feels like she doesn't get to do what she wants to do because somebody else is in there trying to make other people happy.
Right.
She gets left out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, Melinda, that's it.
Yeah, and so neat to see that it is a really precious and kind of vulnerable part.
Right.
Like that, sort of fragile.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's so easy as I go through my day, you know, unless I'm really, really, it really does take focus and attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, there's just it's like being on the freeway, you know, and she can't keep up.
Yeah. 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 And I would project that the more you see what you're seeing, the more likely it will be over time that you'll be able to see her early. Say, oh,
yeah.
She doesn't really want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, as you're speaking, it makes me wonder, not to put a should on myself, but it's to find a way to kind of check in more regularly, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or maybe she can help you make up things she would like to do and start heading in the direction of taking the initiative for herself.
Have me make up. Oh, that's interesting. Mm. Like, it's a little scary, but make up. Ask her what she would like to do.
Yeah.
And as a way to, I'm not sure that second part you said, Melinda, about a way to help her to take initiative.
That rather than a position where she's deciding whether she wants to do something with other people or not, that she, with your help, finds things she wants to do, and she sets those up.
Oh, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Very subtle, but very powerful. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's probably got a few things tucked up her sleeve that would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no, that's great. Thank you, Melinda, because, you know, that's so great because it's something that I'm always wanting, but I haven't really known how to access that. It's one that comes up over and over of finding that part, the
uh-huh.
direction to do things from that soft and vulnerable and heart place.
Yeah. Oh, very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, report back, will you?
I will.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you, Virginia.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and
okay.
We'll be right back.
Always something good to do. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Melinda, we have more callers here.
Okay, let's talk.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Melinda. This is Lakota from Washington.
Hey, Lakota.
Hi.
How are things in Washington?
They are they're good. There's a lot of practice opportunities up here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
which can be a yay boo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a yay boo. I just want to say real quick, though, I am just so, again, so incredibly thankful for this radio show and for
you
guys showing up in this way all the times that you do, and for all the people in the Sangha that come and are so courageous and share all their experiences. It's just like when I listen to the archives, and I do most days, it's amazing. I can be really suffering and stuck in some kind of conditioned storyline, and it seems like nothing is more powerful for pulling me out than this show. So I just
Yeah, it really it is such a deep connection with each person who calls and talks about what conditioning is doing to them, and we just know that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are out there who are having shared experiences and really being able to benefit from the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, and I just project such. Such just just relentless compassion onto you guys. You know, no matter what is going on for anybody, there's just no answer but compassion, and it's just amazing. It's such a great role model.
Yeah, it's a great way to experience life.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just calling in to check back in. I called last week and I talked with Sherry and kind of got a homework assignment. I had talked with her about, I'm in a relationship right now, and relationship is something that's always kind of stirred up a hornet's nest of conditioning for me in the past.
Oh, it's just a perfect place for conditioning, isn't it? And a
perfect
mirror, usually.
Right, yeah. And, it's something that, as a result of that, I think I've avoided it for large chunks of time in my life, just because, you know, the things that it stirred up were so incredibly painful, and I didn't really know how to deal with all that emotion, and for long periods of time would opt just not to experience it, even though somebody really wanted to be in a relationship.
Yeah, but feeling safer not in relationship because it has stirred up so much for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm safer, but also a little bit miserable. It's not like the voices stopped, because then they were like,
"Yeah,
you want to be in a relationship, but you're not because you're scared and that kind of thing." So,
right.
I mean, not like the alternative was great. It was just a little less acutely painful.
Yeah. So, and now sounds like you're taking on the challenge.
Very, very courageously taking on this challenge and intentionally kind of leaning into it because I know somebody wants it, and just kind of almost as another kind of like intentional practice opportunity, knowing that it'll bring things up and knowing that it's a place where I can have a lot of opportunities to see how these processes work.
Yeah, and I would project knowing your own adequacy, however it goes.
I think that's in there somewhere. I mean, that was definitely present when I first got into this.
Uh-huh.
And that trust is wavered a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
On some level, it's there.
Yeah. So you had an assignment, and I missed last week, so I don't know what your assignment was, but how's it going?
Yeah. So I just called in, you know, because my girlfriend called me up one night a couple of weeks ago, and she had some fears that came up about the possibility of me wanting to go become a monk at some point and leave, and kind of leave her in that way. And and then just watching everything that came up in me about that, there were big, huge reactions in me about that. And kind of a story started coming up about, you know, kind of turning what is very, very likely a win-win situation where I have relationship is good and positive and practice is such a wonderful thing in my life. And this story trying to tell me that it had to be one or the other, turning this win-win into a lose-lose type of thing.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like conditioning?
So classic.
Yeah.
So Sharon said, for an assignment, to spend a little time looking at the person who would love to be a monk and what the person who would love to be in relationship and kind of getting to know them a little bit and also seeing the ways that self-aid and conditioning talks to those people.
And what have you been seeing?
Well, I noticed a bunch of things. I mean, I noticed that one thing that really stuck out was that it was really easy to kind of connect with the one that is really leaning into practice and who would like to be a monk someday.
Uh-huh.
And I could sat down and just make a big long list really quick. And then I noticed that the one who wants to be in relationship, I kind of put that off all week long. Didn't really look at it.
And you watched yourself putting it off.
Watched myself putting it off, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I sat down to do it. Really felt like there was some kind of like just real resistance to doing that, to connecting with that one that wants to be in relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting because I what I experience is just a barrage of voices telling me how relationship is dangerous, how it's going to be painful, the different ways that I'm going to fail in it, and blah, blah, blah. And really relentless kind of voices against it.
Yes,
which,
I hear that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I mean, in some ways makes me really suspicious. And, you know, and the amount of resistance to, like, the connecting with that person who wants to be in relationship also seems suspicious. It makes me wonder if, you know, that this is someone who's really real and who really does have some just a strong desire to be in relationship and is, and you know, maybe it's, I don't know. Just the amount of resistance to it from conditioning and self-hate makes me suspicious about what's going on.
Yeah. It sounds so far kind of one-sided, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Like, let's all weigh in on the side of living as a monk and push away any possibility of being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So how do you, what's your sense of how you can work with this?
Well, I mean, one way that I have been working with it is over the last week as things have been coming up and like difficult, painful kind of emotions have been coming up, I've been able to kind of connect with and explore different sub-personalities that are coming up in relationship.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that seems like a place to kind of start. I mean, I've noticed actually some sub-personalities that I don't believe I've ever really noticed before.
Uh-huh.
And
that are ones that are sort of brought into existence by relationship.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And that definitely, there's definite stories about how they are not allowed to be there, kind of thing.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wanting to look at the part of you who would just love to be a monk and the part of you that you know exists, it sounds like, who would really love to be in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
But the sides weighing in so heavily on the side of the monk and
uh-huh.
not giving you any much chance to explore the relationship side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I had a thought that might be something you could try.
Huh?
Which is, do you have any friends who are in relationships that look to you like they kind of work?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Because it might be interesting to do a little projection exercise onto one of those friends and see what it is you think they get out of that relationship.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That sounds like a really good place to
sort of
look.
A side door into.
Yeah. That's great. Because, I mean, I really have the strong sense that there is somebody inside that is just, it's kind of buried, who really wants relationship and who is just kind of getting stuffed.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That does seem like a great place to look.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because what if it could, and I suspect it certainly can be a win-win, where you can practice your heart out and also get to share all that with another person.
That sounds so wonderful, and I know intellectually that possibility exists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just conditioning and karma, and all of that is doing its darndest to make it a place of suffering for you. It sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I'll definitely look into that. That sounds like a great practice opportunity. Looking at other relationships that I see and friends and family that work and kind of projecting onto them what I'm working for them in it?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on for those people who seem to be enjoying relationships?
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Thank you
very
much.
All right. Yeah, check back in, huh?
I sure will. Thank you.
All righty. Take care, Lakota. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we've had the great privilege of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Who has had the great privilege of being able to be here. It's so, so fabulous, and I can't believe how quickly the time went.
Yes, the time did go quickly.
Yeah, what a great group of folks.
Oh, it's a great group of folks everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yes, everybody who participates in every way.
Yeah.
Melinda,
very fine.
So
well,
much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.